Welcome to A Few Minutes with Molly. I'm Jerry Price. I'm here with Princeton's Ford Family Director of Athletics, Molly Marcuse-Saman. Molly, welcome.
Hi, Jerry.
So we are in peak crossover season here because I don't know if you've counted up like I have, but the number of teams competing this weekend for Princeton is 16.
That's a lot.
And it's cool because you have teams that are in NCAA competition, like field hockey and women's soccer and the cross-country teams. And you have teams who are in the hunt for Ivy titles, which is football, men's soccer, women's volleyball. And then you have teams opening their seasons, which is men's basketball and men's squash. And then you have teams playing at home for the first time, which would be, not playing at home, but competing at home, two swim teams and then men's hockey. And then you have other teams that are in the beginning of their seasons. And then you have tennis, who is always playing. So you have a lot to choose from this weekend if you're a Princeton fan. And I know it's a ton of work for everybody who works here, but it's also, you know, one of the most fun things that you have when you have all these teams. And, you know, if you add up the number of athletes competing this weekend, it's a lot of athletes.
It is. And, you know, the other thing that's fun is that, as you said, we're in the hunt for three Ivy championships. We've got the men's water polo team competing, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend for their championship. And then we've got these teams, you know, going into postseason and hopefully some more going into postseason. So it's really exciting because you kind of know how some of the falls worked out, but yet there's still some mystery to that, which is really why we do this and super fun to anticipate those big games. And then, you know, for me, it's really fun to go out and see a team for the first time and to see all the work that they've done since the last season and see what they look like this year. Every team is very different every year, right? The whole character of every team changes and the dynamics of who plays and how they play. And so it's always really fun to go out and sort of see what the new teams are going to look like and see who's going to lead and who's going to step up. And so there's a lot of action. Obviously a lot of action for our staff, and they do a phenomenal job making sure that this all goes off without a hitch. And it requires a lot of work.
It is. I mean, if you look around the people who work here, and basically across every office of, I'm not talking about coaches, I'm talking about staff and everybody else, everybody has to do a lot to get all of these teams where they need to be, in uniforms, on fields that are ready to play, with marketing and communication support and everything else that goes along with what goes on here. And it's quite an undertaking that it looks smooth from the outside, I think, but I don't think people really consider too much the people behind the scenes, which is fine because the people behind the scenes are fine with that, but just it's a lot of effort by a lot of people.
Yeah, just little things, like even hiring the referees and making sure they show up at the right time, at the right field. And when you add the postseason, it adds a whole other element of planning and coordination for transportation and involving the NCAA. And, you know, so it's a lot, but I will say that our staff doesn't miss a beat. You know, they work so hard, but they're so excited. You know, I think they get, it's not that there's a lot more work now because we've made the postseason. Everybody is truly happy and elated and thrilled for the teams and for the student athletes. And so they're happy to do it. And there's an excitement about it. People always want to travel with the teams when they go on postseason. And we sort of parse that out a bit among the administrators to get to travel with teams in postseason. And so there's just a tremendous amount of excitement going on.
I was sort of expecting when the women's soccer announcement came out for it to be Princeton at Rutgers or someplace like, you know, get on the bus and you're there in, you know, a short amount of time. Instead, it's at Texas Tech.
Yeah, Lubbock, Texas.
And have you ever been there?
Never been there.
I've never been to Lubbock. I've been to El Paso, and I've been to Dallas. But, you know, when that comes up, all of a sudden there's a whole new dimension to the experience for the kids. It's the flight out there, and it's the entire experience, and then the opportunity to go play. But as we're talking about, now you have to, that's Monday night, it's announced. The game is Friday at 6 local time, 7 our time. You got to get the whole group of them out there, and you have to get meals and hotels and planes, and you got to get practice times and everything else and uniforms. And it's, you know, I don't think people really consider.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. All the assistant coaches are working really hard to coordinate and plan it. All the head coaches, obviously, all the business managers and the communications and marketing, and you got to get everybody in the travel party going. So it's a lot of work, but I, again, it's work that you're excited about, and it's work that people are thrilled to do. And you know, it's just really an exciting time. I would say this past weekend too, you know, just the excitement that was on campus was really palpable. I mean, with the alums and just local fans and all of our coaches and our administrative staff coming out to the games. And I've never, in my 4 years here, I don't think I've felt as much energy as I felt this weekend. Obviously, all the games mattered. And, you know, we came out on the right side of all of it.
There were Did you see the note? There were 12 games, so it doesn't count like the tennis where it's, you know, not a game, but there's 12, you know, there will be a winner and a loser or a tie games, and Princeton was 10-0-2.
Yeah, which is remarkable, particularly when it wasn't just they were just normal games. They were,
right, they were
really
huge games.
Huge games. And even at the games that we were playing that were the beginning of seasons, they're critical. You know, there were Ivy League contests in men's and women's ice hockey and squash. And, you know, these were contests that really matter as you enter into the season. So you can't take any of those lightly.
So let's go back to last weekend. And obviously, you know, Ivy Championship for women's soccer and what was they needed to win. Big, huge win for men's soccer who, if Jeremy Colvin scores in overtime and it's waved off, and he goes and scores again in overtime 4 minutes later, which gives him 3 overtime goals this year, or 4 if you count the one that was disallowed.
Isn't it 5 game-winning goals?
5 game-winning goals, yeah. 3 in overtime, plus it would, you know, the one that was disallowed. But
right,
if that game ends in a tie, Columbia then turns around and beats Harvard, and instead of being ahead of Columbia going into last game, we're behind Columbia going into last game. So everything was huge, as you said, and not taking anything away from anybody else, field hockey earning home field. But the big game of the weekend was the football game against Dartmouth, or at least that's the one that drew the most fans and the one that people talked the most about. And I think that was one of the, you know, I mean, my colleague Craig Saxon called it the best game ever played in Princeton Stadium, and it might very well have been. I mean, that was quite an event.
It was. And again, don't forget, the women's soccer was actually playing for the championship. So whenever you get to play at home for senior day for the actual championship, you know, they needed to win the championship. It wasn't that they had to see what happened someplace else in the league.
And they had
they
to
were
win.
Playing the team that they had to beat in order to tie. And then obviously the head-to-head gave us the bid, at which there was a lot of energy in that stadium. I mean, the fans were going crazy.
Did you see Penn's defensive record for the year prior to that game?
Yeah, they hadn't gotten scored on
4 goals all year.
Yeah, which, and they were great. Penn was a fantastic team. Obviously, our team has been unbelievable down the last stretch of the season, and our defense has been remarkable. I mean, Natalie Grossi, do you see? They had three corner kicks in the last thirty seconds of the game. They had 3 corner kicks when she made 2 remarkable saves. So anyway, that was all sort of at the end of the day, having started the day with field hockey and then gone into you know, the football game, and then women's hockey in the middle of that, and men's soccer, and then women's
5
soccer.
Home games.
So it was crazy and exciting, but the football game was a different kind of game, particularly for those two teams. As you and I have talked about, I think, you know, when Dartmouth went down and scored in the first drive, and then we come down and score, I think this is going to be, you know, 45-44, and then it just all changed completely.
I mean, and that was it, and you know, it was a great win by the football team, but it was a as you said, it was the first 2 drives made it seem like it was, you know, Dartmouth 75 yards this way, Princeton 75 yards that way. Nobody stopped anybody, and you thought it was going to be a shootout. And from that point on, the only points Dartmouth got were on the safety. They only had 2 first downs in the second half. It was a great performance by the defense. But when you think about a football team that's, you know, having the kind of year that Princeton's having, what does that mean in terms of excitement around your entire program? I just really feel like having a team like that brings the energy that you talked about that spreads across the entire campus.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think a lot of people are connected with college football and connected with our football program. And so, you know, the rising tide lifts all boats. And when a team that has some, a little bit more of a following is doing well, then I think that lifts all of the teams and it gets people just excited about Princeton athletics. So it's been really fun. And people are focused on college football a little bit more than some of the other sports, but it really does sort of permeate into all of our programs.
And I'm curious, you know, because the soccer crowds were huge. I'm just wondering how many people went to football, soccer.
Well, I think a lot of people did. And I spoke to a lot of people who were at the football game who were going right over to the men's soccer game and vice versa. I saw a bunch of people that I hadn't seen in a long time, some old teammates, some old friends who were just came for the day. And, you know, again, I think they came for the day because the games were so meaningful and because they all lined up beautifully. And so it was just really, it was an exciting day.
So transitioning away from talking about just the games on the field, let's talk about a few other things. And let's talk first about performance and the Princeton Tiger Performance Initiative that's in high gear in its second year with Jason Gallucci overseeing it. And One of the things is that there's the addition of Jess Deutsch to the staff, and she's coming into a fairly unique position, certainly for this athletic department. And just talk a little bit about Jess and what she's going to be doing and what her title is and what she brings.
Yeah, well, Jess, you know, she's a member of the great class of 91, so any of those 91ers out there. But Jess's title is she's Associate Director of Student Athlete Services, which really just means she's helping support our student athletes, and really mostly in recognizing what some of the differences are in being a student athlete on campus, some of the challenges with time demands and some of the other specific areas that they may need a little assistance with, or coaches may need a little assistance with. There's a link in to our associate or assistant dean of the college, who helps again sort of work with us on some of the academic conflicts that may exist with
Alec Dunn,
who's phenomenal, and Jess is phenomenal. And so we have this sort of, again, we call it the team around the team, but we're building that team around the team to be extremely student athlete centered, just to think about ways that we can support them in this endeavor. You know, that they do have some unique sort of challenges that they face based mostly on time. I think that's the largest issue. And so how do we help support them in accomplishing their goals of being, you know, really top rated, first rate students, as well as being very high level athletes? And that's what we're striving for. And every day we work towards creating that balance. And so Jess's position is just another opportunity to help create that balance.
And Jess herself, as you said, is an alum, but she's worked on this campus a lot. And when she wasn't working here, she was doing advising and consulting and matters like this. But she, as you talk about energy, brings a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, she is so passionate about helping people, helping student athletes, and really being a resource to, you know, all of our coaches, to all of our student athletes. And she's off to a phenomenal start at this point.
So let's also talk about some of the other things related to performance and sports psychology, which is a big thing, and nutrition and hydration and those kinds of things. And, you know, we talk a little bit about your experience as an athlete and how it's much different, but I think the whole concept of the psychology piece is a big one. I think that that's an area where, you know, student athletes have unique demands on their time, and they benefit greatly from having the service available to them.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of elements of that. Obviously, there's just performance psychology, sort of how do you perform under pressure in the moment? How do you prepare properly to be able to perform? If you really, again, go back to this weekend alone, and you think about the moments in each game where student athletes had to step up and either make a save or make a play or stop from someone from making a play, and they're doing it at a really, really high level. The competition is really strong around our league and with all the teams that we're playing. And so how do you help kids get into the right mindset to be able to perform at their peak level? And I think it's the same in anything in life, right? You really have to be, you have to have the right mindset in order to reach your peak performance. And so this is just, again, that part of education through athletics and really teaching people how to do that. And so we're thrilled that we've been able to add some support in that area, both some outside people coming in to work on performance, and then some, you know, you're working with our partners in the University Health Services to provide some additional sports psychology support and really mental health support. But it really goes back to, with our performance initiative, that we believe really, really strongly that we have to manage both the sort of psychological and the physiological behaviors in order to allow our kids to reach their peak performance, but to do it really with a sense of wellness and purpose and vigor. So, you know, we're really thrilled with the support that we've been able to provide around our athletes.
Well, I know the coaching staff, you know, top to bottom, everybody just raves about it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's good to listen. Sometimes kids need someone different to talk through some of their performance anxiety, or to talk through ways of getting themselves mentally prepared to compete. And, you know, this will serve them in so many ways after they finish. Obviously, that's what our whole goal is, and our whole mission is to be able to use this athletic experience to educate them and allow them to use the skills that they develop to go on and hopefully change the world, you know, to lead in whatever they decide to do.
And it's radically different. I mean, this didn't exist at all when you played, I assume.
Not even in the slightest, right? I mean, and there wasn't really even, at least for me, there wasn't really an awareness of the importance of it. So I love that piece, and as you know, I'm really passionate about this culture piece, you know, that really starting with your values lead to your behaviors, and your behaviors and the values together really combine for a team culture. And I think that you know, who knows what the difference is this fall. And we've had, it's just been really fun to watch our teams, but the team cultures are really good. And the leadership on from both the coaches and from the student athletes have been, the leadership's been really impressive. And I think that's what leads to tremendous results.
And then finally today, let's talk a little bit about Tagged, which is coming up. That's Tiger Athletics Give Day, which is the fifth one of those. And it's November 27th, which is the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. And, you know, it's an intense competition among our teams to compete with each other for donors and dollars raised. And that money goes to really, it goes, I mean, the best part of Tagged is it goes directly to the student athlete experience. And every single dollar of it goes to, you know, help the athletes have the best possible experience that they can have here. But it's also fun.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
I know you love it.
We talked about this, I think, in the last podcast. I think the best part of the whole thing is the community. If you really think about what athletics does, it unites us all around this sort of Princeton experience. And we all get to cheer for the same thing during these athletic contests. And with Tagged, it brings that entire athletic community together around supporting our student athletes. And so there's just a lot of energy. There's a lot of creativity. There's a lot of reconnecting. And I think that's the thing that's really fun is for that day, former student athletes, former parents of student athletes get to really remember the Princeton athletic experience, and they get to come together all in support of our teams. And I just know that even for me, connecting with some of my old teammates on that day, both in the soccer team and the hockey team, I always text my roommates and remind them that they need to pledge their support and really get behind us in what we're doing. And they love it.
And I think that, you know, it's fair to say, I mean, it started as an offshoot of the 150th anniversary of Princeton Athletics. And I think it's exceeded anybody's even like, you know, most wild, thoughts of what it would be when it was first rolled out. And it's a lot of work. Kelly Staples from External Relations and Alexis Brock from Development and everybody else is
Brendan
Van Akron and, the people in my office with a lot of the social media pieces and the video parts. It's a lot of effort, but it's also fun. I mean, it's you know, we talk about wanting to do things, you know, our purpose is to help the experience of the athletes. And I think this is something that directly impacts that. And I think that's why, you know, it's one of the things people like about it.
Yeah. I mean, I think you were in the room when we first started talking about this idea. And I think Kelly brought it up and she said, well, you know, some schools are doing these give days, and it just took off from there. And we got really excited about creating. I think in that room, we decided that we were going to try to create competitions because nobody in these give days have the kind of competitions that we have. And so we just got so excited about the concept right in that meeting. And obviously we had to get it approved by people around the university, and it's gone through many different morphs and changes. But the thing that I love about it, both from all the things that I already said that I love about it, but the other thing is that, you know, when we talk about the be a tiger and the accountability and team oriented and integrity, the G is being growth minded. And every year we try to do something different. We try to learn from last year's experience or the year before's experience or the previous however many years and try to get better and try to think about how this will be really fun for our alums. How do we get our student athletes engaged in it? How do we, succeed at the highest level on all the goals that we have for the day? So every year, you know, your team comes back with new ideas and Kelly's team comes back with new ideas, and I think we make it better each year. So this is the fifth year. We've got some exciting new things in store, and it should be a really fun day.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I remember because we were sitting there, and I happened to notice that it was coming up on the 150th anniversary of the first baseball game, and which was the first athletic event, and I, like, over and over and over in my mind, I was like, okay, 1864 plus 150.
Right.
That's 150, right? That's taking me to 2014, and it was. And then Kelly came up with the idea of the Give Day, and it's been really successful. That's November 27th. You'll hear a ton of that through the friends groups and through social media for PU Tigers and on GoPrisonTigers.com and all our social media outlets and video, and the university community is bought in, university communications is bought in, and it's been great to partner with them on this.
Yeah, it's an incredible day. It's a long day. You know, we get started at
12, midnight.
Midnight the night, yeah, obviously that day, and then goes all the way through 11:59 on the 27th, and pretty much someone's working on it all that entire 24-hour period.
I mean, there'll be people manning the phones here all night.
Yeah. And also, I think the thing that's been interesting over the years, the first year, we just had no idea. Like, the technology wasn't what it is today. And our partners over in the development or advancement office have been phenomenal in helping us get our technology to where we can really manage the results and see the results in real time. Where the first year we couldn't really do that. It took us a number of days to figure out who had actually won the competition. But we knew, listen, just like a lot of the things we've been doing over the last few years, is let's try some things. You know, let's be aggressive, let's be innovative, let's put some things out there. They might not be perfect right when we start them, but then have that idea that we're gonna learn from it, we're gonna grow from it, and we're gonna get better. Even this morning in our head coaches meeting, you know, that was one of the things I said about our performance initiative. Like a lot of things, we're trying something, we're going to put it out there, and then we need their feedback to say, how can we make this better? And they're really good about that. I mean, you know, our coaches are not shy about telling us what they need and what they think of something, but I really, really mean that. Like, we need to hear from people, good and bad, and be willing to be very growth-minded in our approach and not be defensive and not say, well, we thought this was going to be a great idea, why don't you think it's a great idea? And so consequently, I think we've been able to get a lot done because they've been very collaborative with our coaches.
Well, that's TAG coming up in a couple of weeks. We got a big weekend in Princeton Athletics this weekend, 16 teams playing, coming off the big weekend last weekend. And we've spent a few minutes with Molly here. We'll do it again in the near future. And just thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Jerry.
So for Ford Family Director of Athletics, Molly Marcuse-Simon, I'm Jerry Price. Thanking you for listening and thanking you for your support of Princeton Athletics.